And I'd like to welcome to the Magic Morning Show, we have Senator Maggie Hassan joining me on the phone. Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Gino. How are you?
Excellent. Doing very well, all things considered. I hope everybody is staying safe over where you are and everybody is okay.
Yeah, they are, and I hope the same for you and your family. This is a really big challenge for all of us, but I have to say to all Granite Staters, social distancing is working, although I know how eager everybody is to get out and about. And to all the frontline workers out there, thank you so much for what you're doing, from healthcare workers to grocery clerks to law enforcement. You guys are just keeping us all safe, and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Putting a new definition to the word essential, no doubt about it.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that, Senator, because I think that is the first and foremost thing on everybody's mind now is the reopening. There's a bunch of other states that have slowly started to do this process. Let's talk about New Hampshire's economy and what you believe, how and when this will happen for New Hampshire when it comes to reopening.
Well, first and foremost, we have to follow the data, right? And so public health officials are going to be advising the governor, I know, about when our number of new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths gets to a point over time where we think that our curve has really flattened. But then the next piece of this, and I know how anxious we all are to start the economy back up, and especially how hard small businesses are working to hang on right now, mm-hmm. and people who are unemployed are working to hang on right now. But the reality is that we need to reopen based on data, and we also need to have more testing and more public health capacity as we reopen, so that when we do get new cases of the virus, which we're going to, that's what all the public health folks tell us, we can detect who's got it, do the what's called contact tracing to find out who has been exposed by that person, get them to quarantine, and isolate and contain any new outbreaks. That will mean that people will have confidence when they go to a restaurant or a store that we're going through a process that keeps their risk really low as they go out and about. So that's why in this latest package we push so hard for more money, $25 billion, to go towards a national testing effort. And we require the administration to come up with a national testing strategy because we need more tests and we need more supplies to do the tests.
And is that why you think it's safe? I don't know why I say use the word safe, but it's maybe a good idea not to kind of give it a timeline because it's based on the data. We can't really tell when it comes to how much time that will take.
Right. We don't know. There is some modeling out there, which is helpful, but we really do have to deal with facts on the ground. And we also know how hard this is for people. So we are looking at economic data, too. But that's why Congress did this second round, it's now really the fourth round of relief packages, because we want to keep cash going into the economy. We know how hard this is for people, but we really also have to work to save lives and to keep our healthcare system from being overwhelmed.
For sure. Absolutely. Let's go into that, though. Let's talk about that COVID-19 direct cash assistance. You actually had a call out for veterans receiving the VA benefits, Social Security, Supplemental Security Income to automatically receive that cash assistance. And you're talking about over 18 million Americans that are included in that group. Talk about that push.
Well, so one of the things that we did in the CARES package was do direct cash assistance for people who earn $75,000 or less. And what we wanted to do was make sure that it got to people quickly. And so for people who had paid taxes, the IRS had all this information about their payment addresses or direct deposit accounts so that they could make the payments automatically to people who had filed 2018 or 2019 tax returns. But a lot of people on Social Security or veterans who get benefits, or some of the veterans' caregivers or survivors who get benefits, as well as people on Supplemental Security Income, don't file taxes. And it seemed outrageous to me that you'd have to go deal with the IRS and file something, even though the government already had your payment information because you're getting benefits from the government. So we pushed the Treasury Department, and right now, if you have Social Security retirement or disability or you're on Supplemental Security Income, you do not have to file anything in addition to what you would normally do in order to get these payments. Same thing for VA beneficiaries. And that was really important because people need this cash and they need it quickly. The other part of the work I've been doing recently is to make sure that as people are working to get these payments, if you haven't gotten the payment or if it you know, if it's been delayed in some way and you're worried about it, I don't want people to be susceptible to some scammers who are out there. Unfortunately, there are criminals out there who want to take advantage of this stimulus program. So what they're doing is they're calling people pretending to be representatives of the IRS, asking for their personal information, and then going online themselves to put in information into the IRS website so that they direct the payments to a different bank than the one you actually have.
Wow.
There are also people out there pretending to be services that can expedite your payment, getting personal information or a fee from you, and then you never see the money. So people should be aware that there's no IRS representative who's going to phone you and ask for your personal information, and there's no companies out there who can expedite this process for you. If people are concerned about where their payment is or feel that they've got a question, they can call my office at 622-2204.
Yeah, and you guys have been really pushing the IRS as well to strengthen their fraud prevention efforts in order to help the people, of course.
Yeah, and the IRS, by the way, also has a website, a portal set up if you think you have been scammed, and you can visit treasury.gov/TIGTA, treasury.gov/TIGTA. And yes, we've been pushing the IRS to come up with some methods to really clamp down on this fraud and abuse and scamming and make it much harder for scammers to do.
Good, yeah, and it's definitely worth the effort to get the word out there to those that may not know about that, or you know, there's some people that if they're calling on the phone, they believe it. They believe it right
That's
away.
Right.
So we want people to be safe for sure, so that is a great effort. A nice follow-up to that, what we were talking about, not so much with when it comes to the scammers, but for the cash assistance and all, is that you were in a push for the Treasury Department to also ensure that families who are not required to file taxes and will automatically receive their COVID-19 stimulus payments do not have to wait until the following year to receive the additional $500 per child.
Yeah, that was the other problem that just came up last week. The Treasury gave people 48 hours notice if you were getting your payment automatically. Let's say you're on Social Security or you're getting your VA benefit.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden said if you want your $500 per dependent child that is also part of this payment, you've got to get online and file in our portal within 48 hours. That wasn't fair, and they said if you couldn't meet the 48-hour deadline, you would have to wait till next year to get your $500. There are reasons in their systems that they did that, but we are pushing them to get creative here and give people some other options, because people, Social Security recipients, VA beneficiaries who have dependent children, shouldn't wait a year for those $500 payments. That's really important.
I agree completely, and people can learn more about that, of course, on your website. That's hassan.senate.gov. Senator, I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't bring up one topic that's definitely a hot topic, as they say, here in the Mount Washington Valley, and it has to do with the reopening of the economy and how things are being played out here when it comes to the campgrounds up here in the Mount Washington Valley. As you know, we have mountains all around us, plenty of campgrounds, and we're a tourist area, and we have seen a lot of out-of-staters come to our state, and the residents right here in the valley are concerned about this. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it is a beautiful part of our state, and I know how important tourism is to the economy up there, and it's something I've been happy to promote as both governor and senator. And now I certainly also understand the concerns folks have. Viruses don't know borders. They don't know timelines. And the concern I think people rightly have is that if our campgrounds are open when a lot of the rest of the region is closed, that will attract an influx of visitors who may have the virus and spread it, because as we know, a large number of people who get the virus are asymptomatic. And that's obviously a concern for our health, but it's also a concern about overwhelming our relatively small rural hospitals in your part of the state. So I think it's, again, really important. I know the governor will be talking with public health officials both at the state level and the local level, too, because some of this is about the physical layout of campgrounds. Some of it is about what kind of facilities they have, how possible social distancing would be, and some of it is about what kind of trajectory we're seeing with the virus, not only in our state, but in other parts of the New England area where we're likely to draw visitors from. So I think it has to be, again, a public health decision. I know how important the economy, it is, camping and campgrounds are to the economy up there, but again, this is about safety first.
It is, and that can piggyback off of what you said right when we started about what people can do to stay safe. That social distancing, of course, wearing the masks, doing all of they can to not spread the virus.
That's right. And I know that it is a difficult, challenging time. If you still have your job and you're working from home, you've got kids underfoot who are trying to do their schoolwork. If you are a frontline worker, you take a certain amount of worry with you to work and from work as you go home. And, you know, if you are unemployed right now or trying to keep a small business afloat, it's very unsettling. But we also know that we are strong and resilient as a state and as a country, and that we are going to get through this together. And I'm doing everything I can at the federal level to help people stay steady, have cash, you know, in their checking and business accounts, and trying to make sure that we can stay afloat, and then when we are ready, turn the economy back on pretty quickly. But again, I know it's hard for people, but when you look at the data and when you look at what the public health experts tell us, this social distancing is having the desired impact, and that's critically important, not just to save lives, but to keep our healthcare facilities open and available to everybody who needs them, not just COVID-19 patients.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Thank you, Senator Hassan, so much for your time. I would greatly appreciate it. Do you have any final words that we can take away?
Just stay safe and well, everybody. Again, we're strong, we're resilient, we'll get through this, and we'll get through it together.
Excellent. Have a great day and stay safe, okay?
Okay, you too.
It's the Magic Morning Show on Magic 104.
Thanks for waking up with the Magic Morning Show.